How many of you know that May is Share a Story Month? No?
Now we do.
Now you do. I thought some of the teachers might have known, actually, because it's quite well known in schools that they, during May, that they bring stories in to share. Obviously you don't do it. So anyway, so today we're going to share a story, and we're going to share my story. But I'm not going to start at the beginning. I'm going to start in January of this year. And Kim and Louise and my neighbour and myself all went to see Donny Osmond in Cardiff.
Don't worry, we'll pray for you.
Absolutely.
Deliverance.
One of many times that we've been. And it was just great to go back and to reminisce and to sing all those lovely songs that we've sang for years and years. And I guess some of you say that must be quite sad, but actually we found it quite therapeutic, didn't we, Kim? And for Mother's Day this year, James bought me the latest Donny Osmond CD, which was brilliant. Yeah. He's very good. He's very good. And this is it. This is the cover, and it's called The Soundtrack of My Life. And you might be forgiven for thinking that this is going to be made up of all the songs that he has performed over the years, like a best CD. Well, when I started listening to it, this obviously was not the case, because there was an awful lot of songs on this CD that I hadn't actually heard him perform. So I took the cover out of the sleeve out of the CD cover and started to read why he had chosen some of the songs that made up this CD. And I was quite surprised to find out that what he was actually doing was looking back over his 50 years in show business, and he'd recorded songs where the original artist had actually influenced him, either personally or for his career. And he was looking back at how his path had been mapped out because of the influence of other people. But what he does is he finishes the CD with a song of his own. And I'm not even sure whether he actually sang it on the night. It was called Survivor. And the song describes how he has had to change to keep up with the fickleness of the music industry. And in order for the industry to keep interested in him as a performer, he's had to change throughout the years. And he's come up with lots of different styles, different genres. But as he looks back, he says to himself, I'm a survivor. I'm not a shadow of who I used to be. It's just me. And when I was thinking about this, it looked like the changes that he'd made were all on the outside. Underneath, he was still the same person. He was still Donny Osmond, the performer that started when he was 14. Now he's 59, I think, and he's still going strong. But his character has remained the same throughout. He's looked back and he's found that he's managed to live his dream as a musician. He's had to struggle. There were years when he didn't perform at all. But he's come out the other side, thankful for the life that he has had. But he attributes his success to other people who have helped him along the way. So this got me thinking, and I'll ask you all the same question. If we look back over the past years of our personal lives, what would the soundtrack of our lives look like? What would we say about ourselves? Donny said he was a survivor. Is that what we would say? Would we say we were a survivor, or would we say something else? Just ponder on that. But to get you started, I thought I'd share with you just a few thoughts of how music has influenced my life. And I had a great time thinking back. Obviously, as a child, I was brought up in a Christian family, so I was surrounded by music from quite an early age. And even through my teenage years and when I left home, There were certain songs that influenced decisions that I made because God brought them back to me at specific times in my life to speak to me for a specific reason. And now when I look back, I can see the pattern and the weave that these songs have brought into my life and how they've spoken to me. And I love the way that we can learn from something as simple as a song. So here goes. How many of you can remember the first record that you ever bought? Yes? Oh, quite a few of you. Well, mine was back in the early 70s. And pop songs back then were far more straightforward. They were catchy, they had simple words, they had easy dance moves, and quite often the band portrayed themselves to capture the hearts of the audience that were listening. This was my first song. Don't know whether you can tell, that is the actual cover on the single record that I had, and it's called Oh Boy by Mud. And these were the lyrics. All my love, all my kissing, you don't know what you've been a-missing, oh boy, when you're with me, oh boy. The world will see that you were meant for me. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what my parents made of it, but this was my first record and I played it over and over and over again. My mum and dad had bought me a very small portable record player which you could carry from room to room and just plug in, and whichever room I was in, this was what I played on this record player, and I'm sure I must have worn it out by the end. But I was at that age where I was just becoming interested in boys. And so the words of this song sort of meant sense to me at that point in time. As I got older, I did realise that sentiments like this don't really contain much substance to them. In some ways, they're just words. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes says, everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. What he was saying is that many worldly things don't actually bring much satisfaction. They will disappoint those who put confidence in them. They often promise much, but they don't always deliver on the promises. They offer happiness and satisfaction, but the truth is, often we're left wanting. As a young teenager, it wasn't wrong to listen to these types of songs, but I had to learn that there was more to life than the words of a song. They wouldn't bring satisfaction to my soul, and I had to find that in another way. So, being brought up in the Salvation Army, I was exposed to an unending supply of music and songs. And from a very young age, I had the opportunity to sing some really, really good Christian lyrics. My mum and my dad and my sister and I all used to sing together as a family. Not sure I enjoyed it very much as a child, but now as I look back, I can see that some of the songs that we sang together did make a real influence. And one of the songs that we sang was this one. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, but one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. I was only about 12 when I first sang this song with my parents. And at that point in time, I had no way of knowing how my future would pan out. I didn't really know what God's plan for me was at that time. To be honest, I hadn't really got much of a clue about what I wanted to do, let alone what God wanted to do with me. And as a child, I didn't really worry about the everyday things. Food was bought and laid before me on the table. Clothes were bought and were in the wardrobe for me. Toys were bought at Christmas and birthdays. And it was just something that children accept from their parents without even understanding where the money comes from in the beginning. You accept it wholeheartedly because your parents love you and provide for you. None of us can really know what tomorrow holds. That's already been said this morning. But we do have the opportunity to know the one who holds our tomorrows. And Psalm 31, verse 15 says, "My future is in your hands." And Matthew 6:34 says, Jesus tells us, "Do not worry about tomorrow." In other words, God will give us what we need when we need it. Just as a child accepts the food, the clothes, the toys from the hands of parents who provide, we need to have that same mindset before God. We need to trust that God will provide for us out of his great storehouse, day after day after day. We don't even have to worry about how we're going to make ends meet, because God does it for us if we trust him. It wasn't until much later, when I actually left home and went to London to join the International Training College, that I understood the words that were in that first song. Leaving home and moving to London was a big deal for me, because I'd been brought up in a very secure nucleus, a family, and a very small family church, and it was very much out of my comfort zone. I was stepping out at the age of 18 into the big bad world, the big world of London, which was a far cry from where I was brought up in Banbury. But I was also choosing to live on the front line, because I was choosing to go to Bible college. And I was also choosing to wear a uniform that stood out from the crowds. I couldn't stand in the shadows anymore, because people were going to see me for who I was. And it was only then that I really learned to heavily rely on the truth of these words, that God had planned my life, and the steps that I was going to take were a part of that plan. I learned to trust God. I learned to give him everything and to hold nothing back. How many of you are worrying about situations that you find yourselves in? Are you worrying unnecessarily? Or are you trusting that God has everything in hand and that he will see you through? If you know the one who holds your tomorrows, you don't need to worry about what tomorrow holds. You can be secure in the knowledge that God holds all of your tomorrows, because he is the creator of all of your tomorrows. Does any of you know a pop group, a Christian pop group, called the Joy Strings? Nope. You do? Well done. Now, this is going back to the 1960s, and the Joy Strings were the Salvation Army's pop group of that time. And believe it or not, they were actually in the charts at the same time as the Beatles. Probably not quite as well known, not in secular world anyway. But most of the songs that the Joy Strings sang were written by a lady called Captain Joy Webb. And she was She wasn't at the training college when I was there, but I did meet up with somebody who was in the Joy Strings with her. But many of the songs that we used to sing were written by her, and this is one that she wrote. It's an open secret that Jesus is mine. It's an open secret, this gladness divine. It's an open secret I want you to know. It's an open secret. I love my Saviour so. And you can seek him, find him, share this secret too. Know his loving kindness in everything you do. It's an open secret. I want you to know. It's an open secret. I love my Saviour so. This was a song that spoke really heavily to me while I was in my first year at training college. And not because it was a brilliant song, because it was just quite normal, but it was the words that really spoke to me. Because I was going into a training college where I was being trained to speak about Jesus. And one of the training tools that we learnt was to be able to prepare a speech and to deliver it in the face of heckling.
We can help.
We had many practice sessions in the college, but the day that we were prepared for was to go to Hyde Park Corner and to stand at Speaker's Corner and to prepare to speak our prepared speeches. It was a terrifying experience, and most of us got there, held our papers, stood and read it as quickly as we could, and got off so that somebody else could get on. There were a few that were really, really good at being able to think on the spot and to be able to answer back when heckling was provided. But the majority of us couldn't do that at that particular point in time. I'm not sure, really, that we were really prepared for what that was all about and how we could have dealt with people that were obviously just standing in front. And it was the known thing in Hyde Park Corner to just to come and to just heckle whoever was speaking, regardless of who it was or even what it was about. But what I learned was, over the years, as I looked back, I've learned that sometimes we have to listen as well as speak. It's okay being able to talk about Jesus, but if you just blurt it out and walk away, you'll not make much of an impression. You have to ask God to give you the right opportunities and then to go out and to speak those opportunities in God's strength, not in your own. The Moffat translation of Colossians 3 verse 4 says, "Pray for me as well, that God may give me an opening for the word to speak of the open secret of Christ." You're probably more familiar with the New Living Translation, which is just underneath it, which says, "Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ." This was written by Paul, who was already in prison at the time. He hadn't sat back and thought, "I've had my life, I'm in prison now, so I can't do anything about it." He was still looking for opportunities to be able to speak for God, even while he was in prison. Whatever our age, God will give us those opportunities if we ask him. We all have this open secret in our hearts, but part of the deal is being able to tell others about it, to speak about this open secret that Christ has given us. We don't need a uniform to stand out from the crowd. We don't need a platform in Hyde Park Corner. God has placed each one of us just where he wants us, to come alongside people that he has placed around us so that we can speak and minister to them. Now, I was very moved by Nikki's testimony just a couple of weeks ago. She didn't bully people into listening to her. She spoke from her heart. And God spoke through her because she placed herself in a position where she was so in love with God that God would speak through her. She challenged us to take that same kind of relationship with Jesus, that nothing else matters, that it's a day-to-day survival. Often it's not what we say that makes the difference. It's the love of Jesus shining out of us that people will notice. So we're going to move forward a few years now, and I want to talk about how we can face something that's really difficult. The darkest point of my life was just after James was born. Let me clarify that. It wasn't James's fault. I began struggling with panic attacks, and it's probably closely related to postnatal depression. And this continued for about 6 years. I love James dearly. I always have done. But I really struggled when he was a baby to know what to do or how to look after him. And every time my husband went away, I would run to my mum's because I was absolutely terrified of being by myself with this newborn child, and I just didn't know how to cope. But as this went on and on and on, I really wondered how I was going to get through. I found it very debilitating and very exhausting. But you know, amazingly, those 6 years were the closest I've ever felt to God. Sometimes I was paralysed with fear, and I had to really cling on to everything that I had read about God's promises. It was a paradox, because I had no control over the way I was feeling, but I also felt God's presence incredibly beautifully. I knew that God was holding me up, and he expressed his love for me in such a way that he gave me the provision of writing songs during that time. And it's the only time I've ever really written them, was during that period where I was struggling. I kept all of them, and some of them I have given to others when I felt it's right to share them. And some of them were just very, very personal, and I knew that they were meant just for me. But one of them I'd like to share with you today. These words were written at my lowest point during this period of my life. But what started out as a cry of my heart became a real strengthening of hope. I knew that God was with me, and I knew that eventually he would see me through it. And what I learned from this was it's okay to feel afraid as long as you go straight to the source of help for encouragement and support. Because I wrote down how I was feeling, God listened and he answered me in such a wonderful way and gave me this anchor of hope to hold on to. I can honestly say that my fears didn't disappear overnight, and my panic attacks didn't stop for quite a long time. And there would be many times when I would go back to this song and I would just read through the words and hold on to the fact that I knew God was there for me. I won't read it out because you can read the words on the screen. But they were really important to me because I learnt that I could go to God no matter how I was feeling, and I could tell him the deepest cry of my heart and know that he was going to be there and that he would listen and that he would hold me up. And when I wrote this song, it came from that particular verse in Isaiah. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. When this was written, God was confirming to his people that he was not at some far-off point shouting directions from a distance. He was right there, in the middle of what they were going through. He was personally present with them. And these words, do not be afraid, are repeated over and over and over again in the Old Testament. God wasn't going to let them go through anything on their own. And he's certainly not going to let us go through anything on our own. Sometimes you have to keep coming back to God when you're battling something. I spent several years being incredibly troubled by panic attacks. I was eventually healed of them. But here's the thing. If I hadn't gone through it, I would never have known the closeness of God and the outpouring of his love that he gave to me during that time. Psalmist David understood this when he wrote, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Now, we don't know why David wrote this in particular. He could have been describing some experience of sin, sickness, or depression. All we know is that this pit can be a terrible place when you're in it, because it's where we tend to focus on our failures and our disappointments. And we start to believe that nothing good could ever happen to us. The Message version writes, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last, he looked and listened. David had that closeness with God, which meant that no matter what he faced, he knew that God would help him. Not immediately, but he waited patiently. I can only tell you that although the waiting is often difficult, choose to find God in the situation you're in, for it will eventually weave a pattern into your life that will be beautiful in its outcome. I was going to bring this right up to date when I was writing this and talk about how God has spoken to me over the last few weeks while I've been recuperating. But actually, I'm going to leave that for another time. I was going to choose something current to complete my choice of songs for today. But God's had his hand in preparing this, just as he's had his hand in preparing my life. So I'm going to go with what God's given me for my final choice of song. Now, I'm sure you can all think of songs that when you hear them, they bring a lump to your throat. Or it might even go a bit further than that. Certainly for me, there are songs when every time I think of them, the emotion just starts to rise. But one of them is really special to me, for it reminds me of my dad. And when I was just a child, and we would go up to the Banbury Cross, and before the evening meeting, we would have an open air meeting around the cross. And the bandsmen would sing and play, there would be testimonies. And then we'd all go, we'd invite people then to come back to the evening service. Now, my dad was a really quiet man. He was very, very shy. And if you put him in a room with people, he'd probably sit down and get a book out rather than have to talk to people, because he was that shy. But you know, when he sang, he was another person, because he knew the love of Jesus in such a strong way that when he sang about Jesus, the love just shone out of him. This was a legacy that he left behind. But for me, it's also a prayer of thanks to God, because the earthly father he gave me influenced me. And I'm probably only seeing the results of that now as I look back. A very familiar song. And again, it's probably not one that I would have chosen, but God spoke to me through this. Do you know, this was written by a man called George Bennard in 1912. When he was being heckled by a group of teenagers during a Christian revival service. And he was very troubled by the attitude of these youngsters. And he turned to scripture to find out, to reflect on Christ. And he later recalled, "I seemed to have a vision. I saw Christ and the cross as being inseparable." What he knew was that the cross was really important. It was important to him, and it was important to those that he was speaking to. This was a song my dad sang almost every opportunity he had when he was out with the band. And I can remember on one occasion going into one of the local pubs, and you didn't go into pubs back in the 70s, and I went in with the band, and my dad and another man sang this song as a duet. And it made such an impression on me that I've never forgot it. All I know is that my dad loved Jesus. And he remained true to that to his dying day. And I know that he has exchanged that cross for the crown. I know. We don't celebrate the cross because we celebrate the risen Christ. But the empty cross reminds us of what Jesus went through to bridge that gap for us. He had to die on the cross before he could rise from the dead to give us eternal life. The risen Christ forms the basis of our Christianity, but the cross is the means by which he achieved it. Max Grace once wrote, "Christ did not simply die as our moral example. He did not die simply to prove his love. He did not die simply to topple Satan. He did not die simply to advance God's kingdom. He died supremely and above all other reasons as a sacrifice for our sins. God punished him for our sins instead of punishing us. God executed him. Whatever condemnation, wrath, punishment, hell, and agony our sins deserved, Christ endured in full measure. It's only when we understand in full that depth of love that we can be moved by these words and thank God for the cross that one day we will exchange for a crown. Out of all the songs that I have been inspired, challenged, and moved by, this particular one is the one that I hold on to. For it brings to life everything I stand for. And as I look back over my life, it's at the very core of who I am. And one day I shall stand before my Lord and I shall say, thank you for the cross. If I can leave one thing with you this morning, it's that you know exactly what the cross means to you. That you can identify with the empty cross and believe wholeheartedly that the Christ who died for you rose from the dead, and you will one day stand before him and exchange this cross for a crown of righteousness. So to finish, this has been quite a thought-provoking time for me. And as I've spent lots and lots of time at home looking back and thinking about some of the songs that have influenced me, it's only a minute fraction of many of the songs that we know and love. And I would encourage you to go away and to discover for yourself which songs speak to you and have helped you make decisions in your life. Which songs challenge you? Don't be afraid to be emotionally turned upside down. God will lead you through your personal journey, and I can promise you it will be worth it. Donnie said he was a survivor, but I believe we're more than that. We don't just survive life, we live life. And we conquer life and death because Christ first conquered life and death for us. As you look at this picture, it's not really about where your journey starts. It's not even about the songs that you might choose. It's about what you learn along your own personal journey that brings you closer to God and your ultimate destination. Amen.